In the holy name of Jesus, amen. I don't know if you guys knew it, but it turns out that the ancient Egyptians were just like us. Do you know that? Same with the ancient Greeks and the ancient Romans. You see, I know a little bit about history, and I've looked through and I've seen that people are more or less the same all throughout, at least in this respect, that we're all seeking to live this life as best as we can, right? That's what we're all striving for here, to live a good life, a life worth living. And the best way to do that is to make sure that you do everything within your power so nothing gets in your way, so that you achieve all of your goals. Throughout history, throughout time, this is the pattern of human existence, you might say. We're all clawing and scratching and trying to make this world a better place for ourselves, a place with less sorrow and more joy, a place with less pain and more pleasure. That's the way it is for us. Sometimes along our way, we may have to do things that we're not so proud of. But in the end, we did it for the greater good, right? At least for the greater good of us and ours. The Egyptians were no strangers to this. They knew what it meant to be in charge of one's own destiny, right? To look out for number one, because number one's most important. They, just like us, thought that people should bow to their own needs. They knew what it was like to remove things that got in the way of them living their best life. They did. So if there was an unplanned pregnancy, you better believe abortion was an option for them. And it wasn't even that primitive either. They had medicine, salves, poultices, that did the trick just fine. You guys didn't think that safe and legal abortion was a new invention, did you? It was legal for them. It's been around for a long time. It's kind of what people do. Same with the Romans. Same with the Greeks. They all had access to this. And even if you look at our own country, it wasn't until after the Civil War that abortion actually became illegal. It's not a new thing for us to see abortion returning to legality, becoming safe and legal. This is the pattern of humanity, right? Everyone does what is right in their own eyes, what is best for them, and if there are people caught in the crossfire, so be it. People should die or get out of the way. And when it comes to be my time to die or your time to die, I guess the predominant way of thinking is that we should be able to go out on our own terms, right? And so with these kind of things in mind, it makes sense that when children lose their economic value, when they become a burden instead of a blessing, killing them becomes a viable option. Same goes for euthanasia and suicide. When life doesn't seem to be going the way that it should, when it's not so good anymore, we should be able to decide that it's our time to go. Look to the Greeks, look to the Romans. Euthanasia, suicide, it was totally okay for the right reasons, right? When life wasn't going the way it was supposed to. You get captured in battle. You're facing shame or you're facing guilt. You've got something burdening your conscience that you just can't let go. You're going through pain, physical or sickness or an injury. Go out on your own terms. And so since we're not all so different from them, we think along the same lines, at least our society as a whole does. I should be able to decide if I take care of someone else or not. I should be able to decide if my life is worth living or not, whether the cost is too great or the pain is too much. This is what God sees when he looks down at his creation. A people turned in on themselves, a selfish people that kills, extinguishes life by the millions. Behold the sin of the world. Behold the sin of the world. Where babies and the elderly are cast off, those who cannot take care of themselves are left alone to die. and where we make the decisions in our own life, however it best suits us. Behold the sin of the world. Is your blood boiling yet? Are you angry? Are you mad? It's unjust, isn't it? The world isn't supposed to be this way, right? Maybe now you're energized. Maybe now you're ready to go and vote for candidates and policies that'll make sure that this kind of stuff never happens. Maybe now you're ready to put a pro-life bumper sticker on the back of your car so that when you drive by, everyone will see the truth. Or maybe what I've said cuts you to the heart because you know this is your failing. This is where you've messed up deeply. This is where you're thinking about failing. This is what you struggle with. And if that's the case, then I have to tell you before we even go further, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he died for you. He forgives you all your sins. He hears your pleas for mercy. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what John's talking about here. He died for sinners. He died for you. And yet, I have a sneaking suspicion that you guys, at least most of you out there, probably aren't feeling guilt about what I first said. But maybe righteous indignation, some sort of righteous anger against the world, right? This isn't your sin, is it? Well, here's the tough thing, guys. Though many of us may never have had an abortion, though many of us may have never encouraged someone else to have one, though we may speak out against abortion, good. That is good. In spite of all this, my job here is to make sure that you don't leave the service feeling smug in your own goodness, feeling like you've done everything right. If I do that, I've failed. So we have to keep going until you see that you're a part of the problem this Life Sunday, that you have sins too. We're not going to have arrived. So we've got to keep going. It's Life Sunday, guys. It's not called Beginning of Life and End of Life Sunday. It's called Life Sunday. On this Sunday, we celebrate God's good gift of life, all the things that go with it. We celebrate the fact that every life matters, big or small. We celebrate life as God intended it to be, perfect and good. You see, Life Sunday is not just about the beginning or the end, but it includes the middle as well. And I think the problem with us is that this part doesn't get so much publicity, at least in our church on Life Sunday. The middle. And I guess what I'm wanting to suggest to you guys is that life is more than being alive. I think sometimes we make the jump that breathing and having a heartbeat is all there is, but it's not. Life is more than simply being alive. Ask any woman, single woman who is struggling to make ends meet, struggling to just provide for herself, who finds out that she's pregnant. Life is more than simply being alive, no? It was never a part of God's plan for life that she would face certain economic doom just because she had a child. It was never a part of God's plan for life that she would have to go alone in raising that child. It was never a part of God's plan for life that she would be outcast, that she would be shunned, that she would live on the outskirts of society. Life is more than just being alive. Ask anyone who's suffering with depression. I can't claim to know exactly what it's like. Nobody can claim to know exactly what it's like for each individual person, but the sadness, the pain, the feeling of hopelessness, the feeling of worthlessness and loneliness. When a darkness settles over your life, a darkness that's so thick that you can almost feel it, the darkness that you can't see through the end of, that doesn't look like it's going to get better, in that tell me that life is the same as breathing. Life is certainly more than just being alive. Ask somebody who's shut into their house, who can't get out. Ask somebody who's in a nursing home and not a good one. Life is more than just being alive. I've heard it said that when you go and visit someone who's homebound or someone who's in a nursing home, you don't just make their day, but you make their week. And it's true. But I think we can kind of see how bad the situation is from that. I visited not my fair share of shut-ins. I visited some shut-ins and some people in nursing homes in my job here as a vicar. And one of the things that I hear them say time after time, not everyone, but sometimes, they say, I lived a good life. I had a good life. These people have limited mobility. They're losing their senses, maybe even their minds. And they don't get to see as many people as we do. They don't have as much social interaction as we do. And so it only makes sense that through all of that, they refer to the life that they are living now in the past tense, as if it's already over. I had a good life. Certainly, life is more than just being alive. It's Life Sunday, guys. And we just confessed the fifth commandment. It's a commandment that we hold to, a commandment we believe. You shall not murder. And the cool thing about this commandment is this commandment agrees with me. Agrees with, or maybe I agree with this commandment, you might say. Life is more than being alive. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. So how are you doing with that? Are you helping and supporting your neighbors who need your help and support so desperately in every physical need? Is this anti-murder Sunday, or is it Life Sunday? Think about those three people that I mentioned, or people like them in your life. Have you helped? Have you supported? Or have you just washed your hands and said, hey, I haven't killed anyone, and I've made as sure as I can that nobody else is going to kill anyone, and that's good enough. As if God's plan for life was simply that people are breathing, simply that people have a heartbeat. Behold, the sin of the world. Where mothers feel like they have nothing else to do, no other options than to kill their children. Where the lonely and afraid feel like there's no other course to take except to take their own lives. And where we sit by idly and leave them to their pain, leave them to their suffering, not helping, not supporting. Oh, but making sure that they don't do anything morally objectionable. Behold the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. These are the words on the lips of St. John the Baptist today, and he's pointing to Jesus. And when I hear these words, when we hear these words, I think we ought to be curious. I know that I am. You see, I've seen the sin of the world. It's ugly. I've participated in the sin of the world firsthand, and so have you. And so when we hear these words, we've got to be curious. God looks down and he sees the sin of the world. He sees a world where people are killing for their own good. He sees us Christians crusading for life and at the same time ignoring those who need our help just the same. And so what would become of us? We who have failed to keep God's fifth commandment. Surely nothing but punishment, we would think. So when John says, look at this guy, he's the one who's come to take away all that sin, all the sin of the world, you better believe I'm listening. Because I want to know more. We need to know more. How can this be? So look to Jesus. See his life. His whole purpose was to do away with the sin of the world. That's what he came for. We see it in his life, right? He healed people and he did miracles. That's the cool stuff. That's what you remember from Sunday school. But do you remember, along with those stories, the stories of him saying, "I forgive you," to people? He heals someone and then he says, "Son, I forgive you all of your sins." Forgiving people as only God could do. He goes through his life forgiving the worst of sinners, forgiving adulterers, forgiving thieves, even forgiving murderers. For that was his purpose. That's what he came to do, to take away your sin, to take away my sin. And we see the fullness of that plan in the cross, where Jesus was crucified. It's the mystery. It's the miracle. It's the thing we never saw coming. And we kind of should have seen it coming, I guess, because John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And what else is a lamb for except to be a sacrifice, a blood offering for sin? Someone has to pay the price. God doesn't let us go free of charge. Free of charge to us, sure, but someone has to pay. Because sin is not okay. Murder, our murders of actually killing, of actually hurting, and our murders of not helping. Someone has to pay. And the great thing is that instead of punishing us, instead of condemning us to hell and starting over as would have been God's right, he sends his son, Jesus Christ, into our world to be our Savior. He puts the blame squarely on him, all the punishment on him instead of us. And he forgives us. It's a strange message that we preach on Life Sunday. Maybe it's an oxymoron even. On Life Sunday, we say, the Lamb died. The Lamb of God died for you. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or as the contemporary Christian hymn writer, Stuart Townend, said, on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. Here in the death of Christ, you live. The Lamb of God has died for you so that you might have new life, so that you might have a chance to start over. As many chances are necessary, infinite amount of chances. Sin done away with, taken away for good. So now I guess there's a little bit of homework. Because it's not over yet, we're still alive, and we still celebrate Life Sunday. Maybe now our job is to be a little bit more like Jesus. Of course, we can't go dying or sacrificing ourselves for the sin of the world. That would never work. But maybe you can sacrifice your time for someone who needs you there next to them. For someone who needs a friend, for someone who needs help doing something. Maybe you can sacrifice your money, your resources, for someone who needs your support. This is a part of the mission of God's people. It's a part of being the way God designed us. It's the part of life, the way that it's supposed to be. And it's not just for Life Sunday. It's for all time, in all places. This is what God has planned for you. Amen.